Resources for Living by Lynn Unger, Minister for Lifespan Learning, Church of the Larger Fellowship. I know that the Christmas season is supposed to be a hard time for Jewish kids, with Hanukkah a poor substitute for the gift extravaganza that is Christmas. But that wasn't how I experienced it. What I saw of Christmas, which we celebrated as a kind of add-on with my non-Jewish cousins on my mother's side, was a morning spent opening gifts, wrapping paper flying, followed by playing with whatever toys they'd gotten, followed by a big lunch with ham. Sure, it was fun, and probably more fun for the cousins who got the bulk of the presents, but it was over so quickly, like a roller coaster with just one big hill. Hanukkah, like my cousin's Christmas, had a build-up to the big day, or rather the big first night. Piles of presents appeared in my parents' bedroom, one pile of 8 presents for each of us 4 kids. It was understood that there was one big present apiece, generally opened on the first night, but there were 7 other presents for each of us to prod and rattle and poke and wonder about. There was the important waiting for the sun to go down and the rather tedious grating of potatoes for latkes. The invention of the food processor has made potato latkes a very different undertaking these days. And finally, there was the ritual of lighting the candles, saying the blessing, singing Rock of Ages, and the dash to our parents' room for the carefully selected present. But it wasn't over after the first 2 candles burned down, after the present was opened, after the game of dreidel had been played. There were 7 more nights to go. Admittedly, after the first night, the ritual was more perfunctory, the candles occasionally missed on a busy night, and the presents generally trinkets. But there was still the pleasure of unwrapping, of surprises, of choosing the color and pattern of the ever-increasing rank of candles in the menorah. The pleasure was less like a roller coaster and more like a trail ride through the woods. The season of giving can feel like a whole lot of pressure to find the right gifts, to afford the right gifts, to be suitably thrilled by the gifts that you're given. That's an awful lot of weight to wrap up in colored paper and unload in a single orgy of gift-giving. But what if you looked at the whole of December not as the season of shopping, to be followed by the moment of unwrapping, but rather as the season of giving? What if throughout the whole month you celebrated the way you were able to give to others? A back rub, a cup of cocoa, a bag of food for the local food pantry, a funny note, a carefully chosen book from the library, or a song on YouTube. Perhaps you could have secret Santas in your family, so that each person would draw the name of a family member that they would do something special for each day for a week. Then for the next week, draw new names. You could spend the whole month looking for small, anonymous ways that you could do something kind. Choose something that you can give as a family to someone else, like giving a neighbor the gift of shoveling snow or caring for a cat while they're out of town. Give the gift of experiences. Take a walk in a neighborhood bedecked in lights. Look at the stars on a clear night. Splash in puddles. Read a story by candlelight. Agree with your family that on Christmas, or solstice, or Hanukkah, or the holiday of your choosing, each person will get one special gift to unwrap, but that you will be opening the rest of your presents throughout the month, often in ways that don't involve tearing paper. Then open your heart to the season of receiving. You deserve the absolute finest that life has to offer, so you will want to be on the lookout for the gifts that drop in your lap. Open your heart to fully receiving a compliment, a hug, a quiet moment with a book, a delicious cookie. We tend to think of these bits of delight as stolen moments, but they're not, or they don't have to be. Rather than stealing a bit of time to yourself, sneaking a bit of chocolate, or grabbing a moment to talk on the phone with your best friend, you could simply treasure these small gifts, seeing them not as guilty pleasures, but as presents graciously given and graciously received. The traditional religious word for the gifts the world drops in our laps is grace. Grace offers us gifts, not just on Christmas morning or the first night of Hanukkah, but daily, hourly. It is our job to be instruments of grace, tossing gifts out into the world, less like Santa handing out gifts to good children according to their wish lists, than like dancers on a carnival float, tossing glittering beads to anyone who would reach out and catch them. It is also our job to reach out and catch those worthless, priceless beads, and to sling them over our heads so that our blessings can shine out through all the long winter nights.